Well, good morning, folks, and you're very welcome to join with us this morning as we continue to meet via our webcast. And we are indeed very glad that you're able to join with us, especially on this Resurrection Sunday. On Good Friday, we remembered the Lord's death, but today is a very special day because today we remember the Lord defeating death. And on Friday, he paid the price for our sins, but today he defeated death. And we that believe will see death no more, and we will not be lost in hell forever, but we will forever be with the Lord. So we are very glad that you're able to join with us this morning. And I want you to turn in our hymn books to hymn 164. Perhaps we could all bow in a word of prayer now. I would ask the people to continue to pray for especially those that are in the front line of this trying to defeat this virus. And we would ask those that work in hospitals and ask for those that work in seniors' homes, the ambulance people, the police force, and so on. There's many that is in the front line trying to defeat this and serving the people of Canada. So I would ask you to pray for them. So now let us turn to the Lord and let us seek God's help. Heavenly Father, we come before thee, Lord, in this Resurrection Sunday, remembering the great victory of our Savior when he bled and died on that cruel cross, where he paid the price for our sins. And praise God, he rose on the third day. And Lord, because he rose, we too shall never die, us that believe. And we praise God for that great work that was done. But Father, thou knowest, O God, the situation that we find ourselves in with this COVID-19. And Lord, as has been said by our pastor many times, this did not take thee by surprise. But Lord, we pray, O God, for especially for the saints of God, the Christians, those that are born again, that they would stand strong. Lord, that they would indeed be firm in their faith. Lord, that they would be resolute. O God in heaven, I pray, Lord, that for them that they would be strengthened. Lord, as you drew aside, Lord, your apostles, Lord, your disciples, and you strengthened them. Lord, strengthen us today and help us, O God, Lord, to be faithful to thee, to be there for others, to encourage others, and help, I pray thee, O God, our government. I pray, O Lord, at every level that they would know guidance from God. We uphold them before the throne of grace, and we pray for them, Lord, as they try to make decisions, Lord in heaven, that they would their decisions would be ordered of God, and that every step that they take would be by God's direction. God, help those, Lord, that are working in hospitals. Help our doctors, our nurses, our caregivers, those that are working in seniors' homes, Lord. O God in heaven, I pray for them. I know, Lord, that many of them would be scared. I know that many of them would be frightened. And I pray for them, Lord, that they would be given strength. Lord, that you would be pleased, O God, to touch them and to bless them, Lord, for the service that they are doing. Lord, do be with them. O God, be with our own congregation here. I think especially of those, Lord, that are getting on in years, those that are vulnerable, Lord. I pray, my God, that thou would be pleased to help them, to protect them, to be with them, Lord. O God, deliver them from all their fears, but help them, O God, to be trusting in God. Lord, for every member of our congregation, O God, undertake for them. I know that many would find themselves in great difficulties, Lord, perhaps lost their job, Lord, and now they're wondering what the future holds. But praise God, the future is in God's hands. And Lord, we cast ourselves upon thee, and come what may, we will trust in our God. So, Lord, we ask, O God, that you would strengthen your people and be with this congregation. Lord, be with our school. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless our teachers as they endeavor, O God, to continue to teach the students, Lord, via the webcast and internet and various other means. Lord, I pray, O God, that thou would help them, that thou would be with them. O God, be with our administration, Lord. We think of Mrs. Saunders, Lord, our principal, Lord, that you would bless her as she continues to try and direct and figure out the best way possible to get things done. But Lord, be with our parents. O God, many of them are at home endeavoring, and this is a new thing for them. Lord, as they endeavor to teach their children, as they endeavor, Lord, to instruct them and guide them, and at the same time try to work from home. Lord, I pray, O God, that you would strengthen them, be with them, and give them peace within their hearts. So we commit every family to thee. We commit this great land of Canada to thee, Lord. And Lord, we acknowledge the sins of this land. We acknowledge, O God, that we are indeed only worthy of the judgment and the wrath of God. But Lord, we cry unto thee for mercy. And we pray to our God that is a merciful God. Praise God that thou art a merciful God, and you do not reward us, O God, according to our sins. But Lord, we pray, O God, that thou would forgive this land, that thou would heal this land, that thou would help, I pray thee, people to recognize their sin. Show them, Lord, their sin. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them the grace that they need to repent of their sins and to turn unto God even at this time. So, Lord, I pray that you would hear the cries of our heart. I pray for Dr. Saunders here as he leads the congregation. I pray for him that he would be strengthened, that he would be guided, that he would know the leading of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, O God, as he would preach the word this morning, that it would go forth with power and that you would help him, O God. Upbraid him now, Lord. I pray that the Spirit of God would lay hold upon him. And as he opens the word of God, that he would speak, thus and thus saith the Lord. So we commit him to you, asking your blessing upon him. So, Lord, now we commit this meeting to you. And we pray it would be a means of encouragement to your people, that it would be a means, O God, of those that are watching via the webcast and are not saved. Lord, bring them to Christ. What a day to come to Christ on Resurrection Sunday. Lord, save souls this day. Lord, we commit this meeting to you now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I could ask you now to take your hymnal and turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32a. And we can turn there and we will sing the first six verses. Thank you. Thank you. Could I ask you now to turn in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, and we will read chapter 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Let us read the Word of God. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared to another, unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his own divine word. Well, of course, I want to give everyone again a very warm word of welcome via our webcast. And we do thank we thank our brother Jonathan, of course, for working the webcast and putting us online, that we're able to meet together. And of course, our sister Dana here is playing the piano. And later, our pastor, Dr. Saunders, will be preaching the word both this morning and in the afternoon. Now, we want to thank everyone for making the effort and meeting with us on Wednesday night for our prayer meeting. And it was a great blessing, as we did once again see all the faces, and we were able to hear people praying, and it was a great blessing and encouragement. What a blessing it is, and that's how we're strengthened, when people come together to pray. And it was a great encouragement indeed on Wednesday night. We do ask you to pray for the older members of our congregation, that the Lord would bless them, that the Lord would keep them, and just keep them from this awful virus that is going around. And I ask you again to pray for our seniors' work. We that were involved in it, we think about them often, Lord, and indeed those down in Cedarbrook. And we are thankful as to date that this virus hasn't got in there. And do continue to pray for them there. Continue to pray that the word that they heard week after week, that they would indeed come to Christ, that those that are not saved. So pray for them, pray for other senior works around this country. Many of you, I'm sure, have loved ones in various places. Well, do pray. Pray for the staff and pray for the residents, that God would bless them. So let us work our way through the announcements now. And as I've already said this morning, Dr. Saunders will be preaching the word. And then again, we'll be meeting at 6:30 this evening. And we're again, our brother will be bringing the word. Then on Wednesday night, our Bible study and prayer meeting via Zoom. And of course, Jonathan will be sending us out a new password and a new ID number for anyone that wants to join in. And then I would remind our session and our board on Thursday night. The session will be meeting at 6, and then the board meeting will be meeting at 7:30 p.m. Do pray for our seniors, as I've already mentioned, and those you can read through the announcements there. There's special prayer requests for all those that are in great need, and of course for our seniors and our seniors' work. So our church that we are remembering this week is, of course, Port Hope Free Presbyterian Church, and do pray for our brother, the Reverend Cranston, as he continues to serve the Lord there, and pray that he would indeed see answers to his prayers, and he has sought the Lord long that God would give him 6 new families into that congregation. So pray that our brother would be strengthened, and that the brethren there would be strengthened with these 6 new families entering into the church. So I think that is all the announcements. And now we're going to have our offering hymn. And it is, of course, 167, Christ is Risen. 167. Amen.
Very glad that you've been able to join with us this morning for this resurrection morning as we recognize the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And we know that you are in your homes or some place that you're able to connect, and we're thankful that you're able to join with us. Let me also express a word of thanks to our brother Alec Newell, one of our elders who's leading the service this morning, and for all of the folks who participate and are helping in making these webcast services possible. We acknowledge and do state our appreciation to Sermon Audio, for they have been able to keep up with the great demand that's been upon them, and we appreciate the ministry of Brother Stephen Lee. Want to say a word of thanks also for those folks who are giving themselves in harm's way and on the front line of service. We have several folks within our own fellowship who are involved in the medical part of things, and we do thank them very much for their contribution to the work of God here. Do remember all of our congregation. It is a special time for us in many ways, and though we are not able to meet in public, and our brother was mentioning about the prayer meeting last week, it was a unique time for us. We met through internet conferencing software, and that was a great blessing. Everyone was in their homes and able to see each other and express their, well, their appreciation and their thanks for each other, and it was a time of special blessing. We're going to be doing the same again this Wednesday, And as was mentioned, you'll be receiving a new password and a new meeting identification number for this coming Wednesday. If you want to be on our church email list, you can tune in to www.torontofpc.ca, and there you'll find the ability to link up to our church bulletin and find out what's going on as far as our prayer requests and the needs and the updates that we have for you today. I ask you to turn in your Bibles now to the book of Job, the book of Job, chapter 19. I want to read just a few verses now. Job, chapter 19, verse 23. He says, "Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and led in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold him, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment." May God bless His word to us this morning. I invite you, please, to bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for this morning that You have given to us, a new day. And we know, Father, that in the unusual circumstances of our time, well, we have to make the best out of it that we can. And yet, as far as all of these things in a physical realm are concerned, that's one thing. But Lord, today we lift up our hearts, we lift up our hands in praise and thanksgiving, because we are reminded again that Christ Jesus has risen from the dead and that He lives in the power of an endless life. He is alive forevermore. And because He lives, we live also. And so, Father, for the great hope and the joy and the comfort and the blessing that this truth gives to every child of God, we pray this hope will spill over through our testimonies and to those who are unsaved. And we pray, Lord, that every true believer during this time of being isolated, shut in, keeping separate from people at a distance, yet still, Lord, we may be able to communicate the wonderful words of life. Lord, You have given to us a tongue to speak. You have given to us the means of communication. And I pray that today we will be able to do just that, that we will have the joy and the peace of Christ in our hearts. Bless us now as we pause around the Word of God. I'm asking, Lord, that its truth would have an impact upon every heart. I pray that we will be filled with the joy and the peace of Christ. Lord, hear our prayer this morning. We know that there are many who are set aside because of sickness, whether it has immediately to do with COVID or some other illness. Lord, we're asking for Your grace and Your strength and Your healing touch to be upon them. We pray this day for wisdom to be granted to our leaders. We ask, Father, that they will be guided, directed, and that even they would call upon the name of God in this hour of their need. Lord, hear our prayer today. Draw near now and help me, I ask, as I would speak the Word of God, that it would go forward with the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to draw your attention, please, today to two verses found in Job 19, verse 25 and 26. For Job declared, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." The Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament that if Christ be not raised from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. And the word means pitiable. It means pathetic. The hope that is found in Christian theology and the motive for Christians to keep going in the face of every obstacle, everything that is imaginable, including death, is the firm conviction that Christ Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to glory, and he is there today, my friend, busy in his mediatorial office. And what does that mean? It means that Christ today is praying for us. It means that he is lifting us up before his heavenly Father. He is interceding for all of his people. And I say to you, is solid ground for a believer to rest on. This is our hope. And it's because Christ lives today that we have this precious hope. And friend, I ask you the question this morning, do you have this hope residing in you? Do you have this blessed assurance that death has been swallowed up in victory and that we know we shall live because Jesus our Savior lives in the power of an endless life? We can say that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Christian, whatever life throws at you, remember that Jesus is alive. And if He is alive, we are in Him through faith, and therefore we are alive to God, and we possess not something that is wishful thinking, but that which is a sure hope that tells our souls, that reassures to us that this life is only but a stepping stone until we come to our eternal home. Now, we know too well that we are surrounded by trouble this day. Last Wednesday, in our prayer meeting, I reminded our congregation from Psalm 86, verse 7, that as the psalmist said, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon the Lord, and He will answer me." And that is a great certainty that we have. In the day of our trouble, we call upon the Lord, and He hears us. Oh, my friend, when trouble comes to you, do you know where to turn? It might be something to turn to a family member or friend to communicate what the problem that you have is. But nonetheless, throughout history, God's people have found that there is only one answer in the time of our trouble. It's to cast ourselves upon the Lord by faith. It's to present our cause to the living God. And when we do that, we are certain and we know that we are helped and we are strengthened. We are comforted. Now, we have read a few verses from Job's book. In this chapter 19, it is really comes to a highlight or a pinnacle because this poor man had gone through so much. At the beginning of the book, we're told that this man who lived in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, was perfect and upright before God. He turned away from evil. He feared the Lord with all his heart. And the interaction that took place between God and Satan that was unknown to Job at that time was a most unusual thing, and it shows us a picture of what's going on behind the scenes in spiritual forces that are at work. It gives us a different perspective, and perhaps we can learn through Job's time and through the writing of his book that when you and I are facing trials and troubles, there are spiritual battles going on that we cannot see. And yet let us always be confident in this, believer, that our God is in absolute control. And He knows the end from the beginning. And He knows exactly what is going to happen to us. And therefore we need not fear. We do not need to be worrying and be concerned and fretting. We can just simply present our cause, our case, before our living God, and we know that He will undertake for us. Now, you might ask the question, well, that didn't work out too well for Job because he lost so much. He lost his children. He lost his livestock. He lost his health. And his own wife turned against him and said, curse God and die. Oh, my friend, there are times in this man's life as we read through it, we cannot fully understand or comprehend how he ever made it through what he did. In fact, Job concluded, he said, why did I not die from the womb? Understandably, his thoughts were desperate because of the certainty of death that was upon him. He said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed. He said, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, and I see no good. My soul, he said, is weary of my life. And though Job may not have understood why these things were happening to him, he did realize that in his humanity, he was a sinful man. He knew he wasn't perfect. Did he wonder if some of these things came upon him because of his sin? It may well be. But yet too, the eye of faith or the reality of his hope in God reaffirmed to him that though he was a sinner and he acknowledged his iniquities and his sins, yet he knew that God at the very bottom was there for him. And he could even see the hand of God, for he said, the Lord has stripped me. The Lord has destroyed me. He has kindled his wrath against me, it seems, and all of his family turned against him. The servants that he had, they despised him. The children in the streets, they spoke against him. He said, the hand of God has touched me. And there was suffering involved in that. And friend, today, have you felt the hand of God touching you? So much so that you wonder, maybe I'm a sinful person. Well, there is no doubt that all of us are sinful, but that's not the reason why God has allowed you to go through this trial today. No, it is for His greater and ultimate purpose to glorify His name through our lives. And do you know, friend, as Job was coming to the point of seeing there is no hope for him, his feet were taken out from underneath him, can you not see in relief, in prophetical utterance, that there is something and someone far greater here than a Job? Can you see the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross? Can you see in your mind's eye the suffering that He went through when He was scourged? Can you see Him crying out on the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? In all of this, and in every Old Testament character, or in every child of God, whatever sufferings we are allowed to go through, there is but a hint, but a stroke of the brush to indicate that our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, suffered far more, friend, than you and I have ever suffered. And yet, as Job endured all of these things for God's greater purpose in his life, and so that we could see what God's purposes were through him, Job knew this, that one day I will rise again. One day I will come to see God in this very flesh and bones, his body, his humanity. He would see God. How could he express such a hope? I say to you, friend, the only way he could express such a hope was in this, that he believed in a risen Christ. He believed in a Redeemer that was coming to redeem and save him from his sins. That was the hope that Job had. And friends, as we think about this today, I want you to rejoice in the profession of Job. I want you to think of the hope that he had in a living Redeemer. And please, would you notice, first of all, the Redeemer's identity. This is a troubling thing for some folks because they wonder, how could Job have possibly known about a Redeemer that was going to come and suffer for him and then eventually rise from the dead? How did he know such a thing? He knew it, friend, because God had revealed it to his people from the very beginning. Yes, you go back to the book of Genesis, because Job's book was actually written in the same time period of the book of Genesis. And God had revealed to Adam and Eve, very shortly after they had sinned, almost immediately after, that he was going to send a deliverer, a redeemer. The seed of the woman would come, and the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. And therefore, God was sharing and showing to his people that though you have sinned, though you have broken my law, though you have rebelled against me, I'm going to come and I'm going to send you one that will rescue you from your lost and your hopeless estate. And so, friend, from the very foundation of the world itself, there was a great hope. The Lord did not leave us hopeless, but he filled us with hope. And that same faith that was shown to Adam and Eve was also given to Job. But it did not just stop there, because we are told in the book of Genesis in 12 and 3 that Abraham, through his offspring, would see the Messiah coming, and that all the nations in this world would be blessed through the seed, through that Messiah that would come. And Paul argues in Galatians chapter 4 that even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel the good news unto Abraham, saying this, that in thee shall all nations of the world be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. My, this is powerful, because you have the Old Testament saint in the book of Genesis given a promise by God. And Paul argues both in Romans and in Galatians that as Abraham received that promise by faith, he was blessed and his seed blessed after him. And he knew that Messiah, he knew that a Redeemer would come. And Job, as a man who feared God, knew that he would be justified, though guilty, though a sinner, and though he declared, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." How could he say such a thing? Because he loved the Lord, my friend. Because he knew by faith and had hope in that. The word Redeemer that Job used in our text, it is the word kinsman. And so they are connected together, a kinsman redeemer. And the task of this person who was a relative, a close connection in the Old Testament, was a redeemer to help a person in this situation. Let's suppose they fell on hard times and they had their property mortgaged or their house. And if they could not pay and the creditors were coming to repossess, then a relative could come along, a near kinsman, and they would buy that property. They would pay out that mortgage. And in so doing, the possession would stay within the family. And so he redeemed, he bought back from the creditors that which the individual had lost. And oh, friend, the beautiful picture there is that Christ Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, and he has come to buy for us, to buy back our righteousness, to buy back our inheritance, which we lost through sin. And he paid the debt. He paid the penalty. And all has been purchased back for us again. In Job's case, this was not just some earthly relation. For we are told that all of his kinsmen failed him. All of his family turned against him in the time of his need. Job was thinking about something far greater. The whole weight and the context, it would lead to a hope of deliverance that was much more substantial and lasting than just his human relationship. You know, as we confirm the identity of the Redeemer Job spoke of, he declared something else. He said that his Redeemer would stand in the latter day upon the earth. And this, it transcends something that is just a human life. In the book of Isaiah 59, verse 20, we're told, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." And then further along, "Thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Oh, what Job realized was this, that the very God who was in control and overseeing everything, this very God was his Redeemer. It was only through faith that Job could understand and receive such a thing. His natural eyesight was dim. All the circumstances circling around him were destroying him. But he was able to see beyond that, friend, just as you today are able to see, if you know Christ, beyond your trials and troubles. Look over the wall and see the wonder and the splendor and the beauty of your risen Redeemer. Isaiah went on to say, "Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting." And yes, friend, the triune God is our Redeemer. This, my friends, was the great work that Jesus came to do. It was to buy back what we had lost because of our own sin. Christ died for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, to redeem us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And in Revelation 5, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And there is only one who is able and only one who has accomplished this today, and it is the identity of Christ Jesus our Lord. Friend, do you have hope today that this Redeemer, that you know him, that he is your Redeemer? I want you to realize that from our text, what Job could say, and this is in the second point this morning, Job's personal Redeemer. For he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer. You know, in the heat of his devastation, when his world had really fallen apart, and all of friends and family had forsaken him, this declaration was a very sweet and a lasting hope for him of a struggling child of God. He said, I know that my Redeemer is alive. Proverbs 23, verse 11 says, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. And oh, how the words of Romans chapter 4, verse 25, where Paul said, Christ who was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered for our offenses. The word delivered in this verse, it means to surrender, to yield up. But in connection with that, it means to betray or to imprison. And we know that Jesus was both given by God the Father and he was betrayed by wicked men. So in that one phrase that the Apostle Paul says that Christ was delivered for our offenses, we can see the two great purposes, the purpose of our eternal God to deliver the Redeemer for our offenses. But then we see also the wicked and hateful deception of man working together to destroy Christ and how the devil was behind all that. To throw him in prison, to allow him to be hung upon a cross, to nail him there, to suffer and die. And friend, in all this we see a divine plan that God intended that Jesus would pay for our sin, for our offenses. He was nailed to the cross of suffering and shame. Can we not therefore say, as the hymn writer, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. He is the one appointed by God the Father to come to my rescue, to my aid, to secure my release. Christ Jesus is my Redeemer. No, friend, his attention to me as an individual is so specific. It is so personal that our lives, our life itself, it is secured in the eternal arms of our everlasting God. What does that produce for you and me today? Friend, it means that we have peace in the storm. It means that we have comfort in the time of our unrest and trouble. It means that we have relief in our pain, both physical pain, yes, but spiritual pain and anxiety. When we are dwelling upon a risen Redeemer, then we know that there is deliverance for us. We are safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. I'm safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptations, for sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. My friends, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in the sight of our God, who is our strength and my Redeemer. I want you to notice, thirdly, Job's knowledge of a living Redeemer. It would be of little comfort for us if our nearest relation that was slated to rescue us like a kinsman redeemer from foreclosure, if we only learned that they had actually passed away 10 years ago. That would be of no use to us whatsoever. The banks would come in and they would foreclose and we would lose everything. There would be no value in this declaration if we were to say, I know that my Redeemer once lived, but now He is dead. Quite frankly, that would be a hopeless situation. And I say this reverently and respectfully, but what use is a dead Christ to me today? He is no use, friend. And I say that with the greatest of respect and reverence. But I want to get the point across to you that if we do not have and trust and hope in a living Redeemer, then we are hopeless. But I hope today, and my hope is grounded on a risen Lord, one that has been completely victorious over death. And the truth is that He raised again and was raised again for our justification. Listen to these words in Romans chapter 4. Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Mr. Spurgeon put it this way. He says, Beloved, the dying Christ has purchased for us our justification. When the Lord Jesus suffered on Calvary and He paid the price of our sins with His own blood, and He said on the cross, it is finished. Spurgeon goes on to say, but the risen Christ will see that we get the benefits of His atoning work. The risen Christ has come to bring it to us, and hearing this, we will rest. You see, friend, when the Savior died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin, He was delivered up for our offenses, and through His atonement, we are declared righteous, or we are justified in the court of heaven. But it was in rising from the dead that our justification had been accepted or received or, if you like, registered in the court of glory. In all its aspects and majesty, it is a completed work and the whole transaction is seen together. And this, my friend, is where we must be careful. when we examine the work of Jesus. Because if we were to look at the cross in isolation from the resurrection, then we would only get half the account, half the story. Yes, we rejoice in our crucified Savior. Yes, we relish in the fact that He died for our offenses, for which we could not have paid the penalty for one of our sins. But if Christ went to the grave and He never rose on the third day, then we are of all men most pathetic, most pitiable, for we would have no hope. But when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, it presented, if you like, the finished paper in the court of glory. And the mortgage had been deemed paid, and the debt had been completely eradicated. Jesus has paid it all. And when Job was able to declare, "I know that my Redeemer liveth," this was a statement of faith and with hope. And it was fulfilled in the words of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, where Christ said, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." The knowledge that Job has was revealed by God's Spirit, and it was received by faith. No human revelation brought that to him. It's similar to what the Lord Jesus said to Peter when Peter declared, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And the same revealed that unto Job. But friend, not only did Job see and know a Redeemer that would suffer and die for him, he looked and saw a Redeemer that was glorious in all that He accomplished through His resurrection. And Job, by prophetic utterance, looks down through the corridors of history to the second coming of Christ, when He would, in the latter day, stand upon the earth, and our Lord Jesus is coming back again. And we look forward to that great day when Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be forever with the Lord. Oh, friend, Jesus Christ is our living and risen and coming again Redeemer. And He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Friend, I ask you today, do you possess this hope? Are you trusting with all your assurance and all your heart that the Savior is yours, that you belong to Him, that He belongs to you? Is your trust for eternity in a living Savior? Are you able to say with the hymn writer, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." There was the certainty that Job had, and I conclude with this today, the certainty that Job had of his own resurrection from the dead. He said, "In my flesh shall I see God." The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians said, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If you possess this certain knowledge, if you know, friend, that you will in your flesh see God, because as Christ has raised from the dead, He has promised that this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And death is defeated, and we shall live forever with God in glory in the new body that He has promised to give to us. And friend, when you possess this hope and certainty, what does it do for you today, now, where you're living, what you're going through? My, this produces joy and support through the times of testing and trial and temptation. And when you come to the edge of the river of death, it will see you safely carried over by the grace of God and in the arms of Christ. And this most certainly is the song of the redeemed forever and forever. And it should urge all to come to the Lord Jesus in simple faith and repentance for salvation. Do you know Him today, friend? Are you a child of God? Do you love the Lord? Have you repented of your sin? If not, then today is the day of salvation for you. Today is the opportunity that God has granted you. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come, my friend, today. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And when you call Him, when you repent of your sins, you will know the joy and peace of believing, and you will know the certainty that you also will rise in that great resurrection day when Christ returns from glory back to this world. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will speak to your heart, and for every true believer that you will have this day comfort upon comfort, grace upon grace, hope when there does not appear to be any hope, because the hope that we have is certain and grounded in God's eternal word. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, I pray that today these words that have been spoken in human weakness, that you would take the precious word of God and stamp it upon every heart. And let us have and go forward with an everlasting certainty and a hope that is not diminished and that cannot be taken away. Lord, hear our prayer today. Bless us now. And as people continue in their homes and now go about the business of preparing lunch and the afternoon responsibilities, Lord, I pray we'll be kept in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that we will meditate and pray and read, and Lord, you would fill us with the joy and peace of Christ. Bless us again as we meet this evening for another webcast service, that it would please you, Lord, to be with us and help us. We ask all this in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen.